Welcome back to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, and with me today is my special guest, Christine Ballard. Welcome, Christine.
I'm very glad to be here.
It's great to have you. Christine is a partner with the accounting firm of Dixon Hughes Goodman, which is the result of a merger with Goodman & Company and a very large southern firm. Is that right?
Dixon
Hughes.
Yes, it is.
And Christine has over 20 years of experience in public accounting. She's got 10 years working as a managing director of international tax services for a national public accounting firm before joining Dixon Hughes, and she's been there since the merger and a little bit before then. She's a subject matter expert for treaty-based return positions. We'll talk a little bit about that. And related issue recognition and documentation needs. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on with people who are doing business abroad, aren't there?
You know, it's not just people doing business abroad. America's really a nation of immigrants. We all came here from somewhere else. And it's not uncommon for just the average person to have a relative overseas. And that can impact their tax filings on a day-to-day basis.
How might that impact their tax filings? Give us an example.
Well, let's say, for example, you have Aunt Mabel in the old country. And Aunt Mabel is a very nice woman, but doesn't have any heirs of her own. And so she dies, and you inherit her property. And now all of a sudden, you've got a rental property and her bank accounts in the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, your U.S. tax filings have been incredibly complicated.
So what's new in international tax? And how does that impact, you know, us and many of the listeners out there?
Well, even though tax seems to have been a rather quiet thing over the last year, and there's been a lot of rhetoric about no new taxes, there's actually been quite a bit going on in the international realm. What we've got are international pay-fors with the health care and the jobs bill. And most of that was funded, or parts of it were funded, with international tax issues. Some of these impact, you know, just kind of the normal person. Some affect, you know, businesses. They have tax exempts have issues. Even foreign businesses are having to revamp their reporting around Americans.
So who's affected by these new rules that were enacted last year in 2010?
Well, it really hits a broad spectrum of taxpayers. You know, this just runs individuals, businesses, trusts, even some foreign businesses. I'm sure most of the folks here on the radio are curious about what's going to happen to themselves. I mean, most of us are. And so some of the provisions affecting individuals are the things that I'd like to talk about today.
Oh, that's a great idea. That's a great idea. So let's say I'm an individual and I've got foreign bank accounts. What are the laws as they existed, and how have they changed in terms of my need to report what I may have overseas?
Right. Foreign bank accounts. There's this form out there called an FBAR, Foreign Bank Accounting Report, and it's filed every year. It's a treasury form. It's not even income tax. We've gotten new regulations in February of this year, and they're impacting filings now. And people should realize that it's not just bank accounts. It's much broader than that. It's a whole gamut of foreign financial interests. It could be brokerage accounts, foreign mutual funds, foreign life insurance, sometimes even a safe deposit box in a foreign bank, if their services rendered, could be considered a foreign financial account subject to reporting on this treasury form. And this is the kind of stuff that IRS got and Treasury got and Justice got quite upset with UBS about. And so the IRS is actually subpoenaing these records from foreign financial institutions and chasing them back to the U.S. account holders.
They were really after UBS for a lot of the tax evasion that was supposedly happening over in Europe, weren't they?
They were. But a lot of it, I think, is actually inadvertent on the part of a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
The United States has this worldwide tax system, which means Americans are supposed to report every penny they've earned from wherever it was sourced every year that you get it. So in this Aunt Mabel example, you know, it's in the UK, right, and it's subject to UK income tax.
Okay. So you think that should be all
that should be
we have to report, right?
But that's not really the case. If Aunt Mabel's accounts earned $100 worth of interest income, you get to put that on your own return as her heir.
Now, do you have to pay tax twice on that income?
No. There's a foreign tax credit mechanism in place, and it's meant to mitigate. It doesn't always eliminate the double taxation,
right,
but there are a couple of different provisions out there to mitigate double taxation. One is the foreign tax credit, and the other for American expats who may be living and working overseas, there is the foreign earned income exclusion.
So let's go back to this FBAR, the foreign bank account reporting requirement, because I find that fascinating. There are all these new reporting requirements in addition to filling out this form. What happens if you don't fill out the form and report the foreign bank account to the U.S. Treasury?
Well, if you filled out the FBAR,
right,
which is just reporting the account, not mm-hmm. the income, that goes off to Treasury, and now you've got unreported income because you just left the interest income off your U.S. returns. You know, now you're in a bit of a pickle because you've got unreported tax,
right?
And right now, the IRS is running a program, and it's about to end. It's called the 2011 Offshore Voluntary Compliance Initiative.
Okay.
And it's a good opportunity for folks who have a multitude of issues to kind of come in and clean things up and kind of put a bow around the earlier years and move on with life. I call it the Catholic approach. You come in, you confess your sins, they clean you up, and away you go.
Everything's good again.
And everything's good again. But again, that program runs only through August 31st of this month. So for folks who have unreported income from foreign financial investments of any kind, you need to come in and talk to your tax advisor immediately and come up with a plan. There's more than one approach. There's the formal plan that the service has announced, and that's under a structured penalty settlement. For folks who have sympathetic facts, there might be other avenues, you know,
trying to get an abatement of the penalty.
Right. Or if there's, you know, if the amounts of income are truly minor, you know, there's a smaller settlement out there. So it really comes down to each person's individual facts and circumstances. It's very hard to, you know, make any real generalizations without knowing something about the details. For folks who have any kind of significant unreported income, most accountants will also recommend that you talk to an attorney, because the Offshore Voluntary Disclosure Initiative, the first thing you do is submit a statement to IRS Criminal Investigations Division, and that's not done lightly.
Criminal Investigations right. Division listeners. Now, if you fail to file these forms, one of the things I remember reading in the legislation was the penalties went from being terrible to horrific.
The penalties are horrific. But if you've reported the income and just forgotten to file some of the forms, this voluntary compliance initiative has this nice little window where you can submit the forms penalty-free. But again, it needs to be done by the end of August. So time is very short. So go talk to your tax preparers right away. But that's a great opportunity for folks who just have a little some reporting cleanup. And I've helped a number of taxpayers, both with the cleanup, you know, where we've had all the income but not all the forms, and I'm working with some attorneys to help some clients who have significant amounts of unreported income to kind of go through the Offshore Voluntary Disclosure Program.
Now, we've got the FBAR, which is the Foreign Bank Account Reporting Requirements, but we also, and you alluded to this, we have a new requirement called FATCA, which, you know, may be an acronym that is accurately describing this legislation, but it deals with the registration or reporting of all foreign investments. Isn't that correct?
Very nearly. What we've got is FBAR is a Treasury issue, and that's in a whole different part. That's under bank secrecy. It's not income
right.
tax at all.
They're looking for money launderers and
right.
gun runners and drug runners.
Drug dealers and,
right.
and all sorts of stuff. But it affects a lot of the rank and file who have none of that going on. But now we have FATCA. FATCA is squarely within income tax, and it's a new form that's going to need to be filed with your personal income tax returns. Right now, it only impacts individuals. But what it does is essentially requires that you to inventory your offshore assets.
Okay.
So, you know, rental properties, bank accounts, foreign investments, stocks in a foreign country, or stocks in a company organized in a foreign country, foreign partnership interests. It is all about
full disclosure. So if you think you're going to get around this by setting up some kind of foreign offshore entity to own the assets, are you going to?
Well, that foreign offshore entity will also need to be reported. So
right.
You can maybe hide some things underneath that entity, but you're going to be reporting that entity. And to be honest with you, you probably should be reporting that entity already.
So what are CPAs like you doing to help these your clients meet all of these new reporting requirements?
Well, we're trying to do as much outreach as we can. This is just a great forum, and I really appreciate the time today. You know, the service has been putting an awful lot of notices out there. The Wall Street Journal has stuff on this every day, the AICPA, and I'm actually on the FBAR task force over at the AICPA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're doing everything we can to educate our members, educate our clients, educate the public, but it's still an uphill battle.
So if folks out there, if you're listening and you do have foreign bank accounts and foreign investments, you really do need to retain the services of a CPA like Christine Ballard at Dixon Hughes Goodman, because they can help you satisfy these very complex reporting requirements that Congress has basically foisted on us in the last year. And it was part of the jobs bill, as I recall. And there was also other legislation that was passed earlier in the year in 2010.
Actually, it was part of healthcare, believe
right.
it or not.
Right. So thank goodness for the Healthcare Reform Act, right? Is there any good news in all of this?
You know, I think there is. There's one export incentive out there that some of my clients have been using. And this is a great thing. You know, it's for exporters of American-made goods.
Okay.
It could be both a manufacturer and the distributor.
All right.
And it's been an opportunity that some of my clients have been taking very nice advantage of over the last I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years.
What's that called?
It's called an IC disc. That's an interest charge domestic international sales corporation.
All right.
And yet another example of an oxymoron here. We've got a domestic international company.
How does it work basically? I mean, who would be the best candidate for this type of incentive?
The best candidate would be an owner managed exporting business of American goods. So you've got there's a lot of manufacturing in Virginia, so I'll give you kind of a client example.
Okay.
I've got a client, you know, kind of out in rural Virginia where the cost of housing and labor is a lot lower.
Right.
And they're manufacturing specialty equipment.
Okay.
And they're selling it to the Chinese.
All right.
And it's a sole owner. They have about $25 million in revenue. Not really that big a company at the end of the day. And this is an opportunity where we can reduce the tax rate on qualified exports. And we're going to save this company maybe $100,000 in taxes this year. And to be honest with you, that's a very good thing because they're putting Americans to work and they're helping the trade deficit.
Well, so there are incentives in the U.S. tax law for manufacturers to take advantage of these tax provisions, one being the interest charged Domestic International Sales Corporation, the IC disc, and Christine Ballard, who knows a lot about this stuff, is somebody that you should talk to. Christine, if people want to get in touch with you at Dixon Hughes Goodman, how do they get in touch with you, and how might you be able to help them?
Well, it's fairly easy to get a hold of me. I'm out in Tyson's, and the phone number, the switchboard is 703-970-0400. And then email Dixon Hughes Goodman. You can get to me through the website as well. How can I help folks? Well, it really depends on what the issues are. You know, happy to take, you know, phone calls or emails, kind of figure out what's going on. And I don't need to be everybody's, you know, day-to-day CPA. I can do that. But
inbound,
I can,
outbound
inbound,
issues.
Outbound, you know, project-based. You know, so I work with a number of other CPAs to bolster their international background and capabilities, or, you know, we have a nice, robust practice here at Dixon Hughes Goodman.
It's been great having you as a guest on Blueprint for Wealth.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us. And listeners, thanks for joining us for another week of special topics and special guests. Join us next week for another special topic and special guest on Blueprint for Wealth. Have a great week.